Welcome to the weekend watch list. How's everybody doing? It is Friday, November 30th. You've made it through the week of after Thanksgiving. It's done. It's Friday. You made it. You did 5 days. We are slowly approaching holiday season, holiday parties, Christmas parties, the whole shebang. We're getting into it. I'm actually going to be out at Lakefront tomorrow with all the Santas, and I will be. I probably get throw on an ugly sweater. We'll not be wearing Santa gear. But if you're there, let's hang out. Let's have a beer. We'll talk sports, talk other stuff, talk podcasts. Just let me know you're a listener, and I'll be happy to buy you a beer. All right, this is the weekend watch list. As you know, this is the first ever fan voted weekend watch list. So I put out a poll on Twitter. I guess I could have done it on Facebook too, because Facebook has polls. But I did it on Twitter to say, which game do you have to watch this weekend? And I listed the four local games, and we are going to go in order of the votes. So this is not necessarily my number one, but it is the fans. It is the Tappers number one. We'll do this every now and again. I think the weekend watch list is here to stay. I love doing it on Friday, actually. It's kind of my favorite. I wouldn't say it's my favorite, but it to me is a little different than Daily Tap. It's a little different than tapping the keg. So I like the variety, and I think I'm going to keep it past football season. So that it, at least for the time being, we'll see. Maybe if it gets to where it's like, oh my God, there is nothing on TV, we'll reassess. But happy to talk to you guys about the games this week. Starting off with the Badgers and Hawkeyes tonight. Big Ten basketball kicks off. Crazy that we are talking conference play, but that is how the Big Ten is structured, where these teams will be playing a couple conference games before they go into finals. That is absolutely wild to me. Also wild, unrelated, the UWM Panthers played Buffalo in Belfast, Ireland this morning at 4:30. UWM lost. But that was wild to see that there was a 4:30 start time. So Badgers and Iowa get kicked off at 7 o'clock. Vegas has Wisconsin as a 1.5-point road favorite. Very interesting. Iowa currently undefeated, 14th in the nation. I do think that line is kind of right. I was almost going to recommend, like, maybe have a money line play on Wisconsin if they were not favored. Now that they are favored, I still like Wisconsin in this game. I'm just not sure Iowa's that good. I mean, they beat Oregon, who's kind of a mediocre team. They lost to Texas Southern this week, and they also beat, you know, UConn, who UConn's all right, but they're nothing. I don't think that is worth crowning Iowa's ass. They had a close call against Pittsburgh, similar to Wisconsin's against NC State. Obviously, Brad Davidson's going to be a headline with Davidson and his charges and just how it's played. Some people have backlash and said it's not defense. Dan Dockich said those are people who haven't played basketball. You can take that for what's worth. Dan Dockich, not a guy I follow. Very interesting Twitter feed yesterday with the Bobby Knight documentary coming or came out on ESPN. I don't always agree with Dan Dockich, but I will say this, that and Iowa was involved, so, and it's Big Ten basketball, but I will say that it was really weird to see a journalist jerk himself off for 2 hours of that. I didn't watch the whole thing. I just watched it a little bit at the gym. But basically, the journalist who uncovered this story was basically just giving himself all the praise and just jerking off for 2 hours. It was very weird, in my opinion. So I do like the Badgers in this game. I think I know Carver Hawkeye Arena has been a house of horrors, but I really do think that this is a good Badger team. I think this is a Badger team that can get the job done in a tough environment, and Ethan Happ's been great this year. Even when he struggled against NC State, Happ was still a major factor in this basketball game. Moving to the Bucks. The Bucks are in New York City. They are playing in Madison Square Garden for a 4 o'clock start. Kind of nice. You have a great little afternoon of hoops and football. You get Marquette, Kansas State, which we'll talk about in a little bit. You get Alabama, Georgia, also being discussed. And then you get the Bucks and Knicks. That's a little good little sandwich with a tasty southern fried meat in the middle there. And the Bucks and Knicks, it'll be an interesting matchup. The Bucks are coming off a nice win against the Bulls, while the Knicks got throttled on a back-to-back by the Sixers. I do think the Knicks are pesky. I do think the Knicks like to play at home and like to give the home crowd a good show. Giannis always seems to go off in Madison Square Garden. And I do think why people want to watch this is just for Madison Square Garden. There's something special about watching games at Madison Square Garden, no matter how shitty the Knicks are. This Knicks team is okay. The Bucks played the Knicks earlier this year. The Bucks got out to a big lead. You remember the game got close in the fourth quarter. So the Knicks have done all right against the Bucks earlier this year. So we'll see what transpires. Giannis, like we said, has gone off at Madison Square Garden in the past. Would not be surprised if something similar happens. Bucks are starting to get a little healthy. Ersan played almost 20 minutes on Wednesday. Good to have him back. Dante DiVincenzo still sort of getting back from that quad injury. He didn't play as much as I would have liked. Maybe this is a first sort of full minutes back for Dante instead of being limited like he was again on Wednesday. All right, going back to college basketball, Marquette has a game with Kansas State on Saturday. Probably the biggest game, definitely the biggest game in the Fiserv Forum for the Golden Eagles. Kansas State is number 12 in the country. They are undefeated. They have not yet been on the road. Bruce Weber's crew, the entire group comes back from their Elite Eight team. A lot of hype around Kansas State. I will ask you, what is your favorite Kansas State win? There isn't really much to go off of here. They did beat Missouri last week, 82-67, but they do not really have a signature win yet. This Kansas team has won games kind of ugly. They've won with only 64 points scored, so they definitely will try to slow down the game a little bit, which is a good sort of start for Marquette as they play Wisconsin next week. Dean Wade is the star. Barry Brown also. Both are averaging around 15 points a game and will provide a challenge for Marquette. Now, Marquette's offense really hasn't gelled yet. We've seen a better, I think, Marquette defense, but the offense has not fully come together yet. I think they are still feeling each other out. Joseph Chartney had 7 steals in the game against Charleston Southern. Chartney has been really known to play well in these, for Marquette in non-scoring ways. Now, I do think that they're going to need a big game from, their wings. They have not got any real wing support this year. Brandon Bailey did get 10 points in the game against Charleston Southern. That was good, but they're going to need something because Jamal Cain hasn't really done much. You haven't got anything from Scar and Mean. And like I said, the first real good effort was from Bailey. Joey Hauser, I guess, could be called the wing, and Sam, I guess, is a wing. I consider them more like stretch fours. Joey Hauser has been very good for Marquette. Do not get that twisted. And this will be an interesting challenge. I think if they can hold down Wade or Brown, if they let one go off and you shut down the other, I think they have a chance at winning this game. This should be a tough environment for Kansas State. I think their rating's a little inflated. I definitely could see Marquette pulling off this upset. If they do, that is a major win for Marquette. And then they are now back to 2-2 with 2 left to play of key non-conference games to really set up their tournament resume. A win against Kansas State would go a long way with the NCAA committee later in the year. We're not even going to talk about the net ratings. So it's crazy that we've done almost 10 minutes and we haven't talked about the Packers yet. We are going to talk about the Packers now. Packers-Cardinals, I think the level of excitement for this game is very limited. I think partly because obviously the Packers have lost 4 out of their last 5. There's all the drama in the world with the Packers. The Packers could be a show on Bravo at this point with all the news coming out. There was the MMQB article yesterday sort of highlighting a lot of similar things that Tom Silverstein had in the paper. We podcasted a bit about it on Wednesday, if you're curious. I wrote something today, SnowtapWI. It's a website. Go check that out. But I think a lot of the drama has to do with too much power. Now, hopefully that the McCarthy-Rogers combination can be all right for a game against Arizona. This is a definite get-right spot for the Packers. Arizona is not very good. Arizona is tanking. They'd like to get the number one pick overall and build around Josh Rosen and start really the future of the Cardinals and get them back to prominence and get them back to being a habitual playoff team and a potential Super Bowl contender. Right now, they are nowhere near any of that. So they definitely need some help. David Johnson will still be a factor for the Cardinals. Getting Randall Cobb back will be big. It sounds like maybe Kevin King, Breshad Breeland will also be back in the mix. Those are all good things for the Packers. They don't know who's going to be returning. Maybe Touchdown Jesus Jake Kumerow gets activated, and then that would mean someone else probably has to head to IR. I hope not Mike Daniels, but I might not be surprised. I hate to say that, but you could see that. I don't know if Packer fans would like that. I definitely wouldn't, but who knows? They've been very sort of hush-hush about Daniels' foot injury. And if he goes on IR on Saturday, it would not surprise me in the slightest, to be honest with you. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what they do in the return game. It will be a little chilly for Arizona. Rodgers wished it to be colder. He's rocking that mustache. We'll see if the mustache stays for Sunday's game. I hope so. He usually doesn't bring it out for games, but at this point, like, why the fuck not, dude? Just bring it out, rock the stash, and get it going. I don't think the Packers cover. They're about a 14.5-point favorite. That, to me, feels way too high for what Green Bay is at this point. I see it more like 26-16 for Arizona. I wouldn't be surprised too if Arizona's close to covering, but Arizona sneaks in the number 27-14. Could also see that. Packers have covered two out of their three big spreads this year at Lambeau Field. Moving it to non-local, we go to Alabama, Georgia. Okay. The 1-4. It is a playoff game. It's kind of like a mini playoff game. I wouldn't call it that because here's the thing. And it's kind of a shitty situation. If Alabama wins this or loses this game to Georgia, they probably will not. But if they do, Alabama's getting in the playoff. That is the most frustrating thing ever, that we can't even celebrate an Alabama loss because they're going to get in the playoff. This game, in a way, doesn't matter that much to Alabama. It matters more for Georgia. So that is also why I love Georgia with the 13 points. I realize what they say. You don't make money betting against Alabama, but hear me out. I think Georgia has a legitimate shot to at least keep this game close. I know that Georgia, I think we haven't really talked much about Georgia because they really haven't had a signature win. I guess it's Kentucky, and they dominated that football game, but I don't know how good Kentucky is. They should have probably beat LSU, but they didn't. They got blown out. LSU sort of ran roughshod on them. I think to avoid that, they have to start out fast. Jake Fromm has to get going early on. This offense cannot stall. They need to figure out ways to frustrate Alabama. I think Kirby Smart may have the secret sauce against Tua Togo. I'm just going to call him Tua. I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name this early in the morning. But they may have the secret sauce for Tua just because there is some familiarity with the offense and how it rolls with Saban. Now, if Kirby Smart were to figure out how to slow down Tua, that would be a massive lift for the playoff and add a little intrigue. I still like Alabama winning this game. I think it's really close. I think it's 34-28. I like the tide here. I think this is the first game where they come a little bit back down to earth. You also have to take in the fact that Georgia was very close to winning a national championship here before Tua robbed them of it last year. This is one of the few teams who actually have tape on Tua and with their defense. Just to also consider that. And if you're feeling a little dangerous, a little money line play on Georgia, not a terrible idea. Just to throw it out there. I'm sure you'd get the odds would be great. I have not yet looked at those. All right, moving to the NFL. Big game for the NFL and the Packers with the Minnesota-New England game. It's a 3:25 start. You got Buck and Aikman. Patriots are a 5-point favorite. Rain projected in the forecast. You like ugly weather games when Minnesota goes on the road. They're 2-2-1 on the 2-2-1 on the road this year. Kirk Cousins, I feel like he's a mixed bag. We don't know what we're going to get. You know, 2 weeks ago, we saw Kirk Cousins really struggle against the Bears, and then last week he lit up the Packers. Patriots defense is not known for their skill this year. They have, but still, Cousins has been known to struggle in these sort of big games where all eyes are on him. Tom Brady does have to deal with that Viking blitz. That Viking blitz is difficult. Brady has struggled against the blitz this year. He does have his full arsenal back with Gronk and Julian Edelman. Be interesting to see how they use Gronk against the Vikings, especially with that blitz. I could see a lot of James White as well in this game, even though Sony Michel is back in the mix. Vikings have struggled a bit against runners in the backfield, and that James White could be the massive safety valve that Brady needs. I do like the Patriots in this game. I don't know about the spread. It's tough read on that, but I do think the Patriots are going to win this game. They are very good at home. They're 5-0 this year. They've been dominant when Brady and Edelman are on the field at the same time. I think this is a game where maybe the Patriots start looking a little more like New England, and they give the Vikings a loss, which would help the Packers out. Packers need the Vikings to lose three. There are 4 out of 5 teams the Packers need some help from. And if the Vikings lose, that would be one thing that would help this team potentially get a miracle playoff berth. Staying in the NFL, this is a Monday night game. Also one that matters for the Packers, Philadelphia and Washington. So the Packers need Philadelphia to lose one. They need Washington to lose two. It would be easier to just let Washington get a loss out of their way. I think you root for Philly in this game. It is in Philadelphia. Philly's in sort of a must-win situation. They're a 4.5-point favorite. Colt McCoy has looked okay, but he didn't muster a ton of offense against Dallas. Now, granted, Dallas's defense has looked really good. Now, this Philly defense has not. They were just completely dead for the first half, came out flat against the Giants. Season nearly sort of ended there. Then they came back in a miraculous way. So maybe that is the motivation for Philadelphia to sort of sneak their way back into this playoff mix. And the Eagles will look to do that. They also, you know, it's a division game. It's sort of a loser leaves town match. If, you know, whomever loses this game is in a really tough position. The Eagles are virtually eliminated. 7 losses, kind of is the death sentence for the NFC at this point. Now, granted, a lot of crazy shit can happen, but the Eagles would need just as much help as the Packers would if they were to lose this game. So I like the Eagles personally. I think they do get the job done. Moving it to college football, okay, cool, hook 'em. You have Texas, Oklahoma for a Big 12 championship game, the Red River championship game. I think it's awesome. I wish this game was at 8. Like, I think ABC has to rethink their strategy when it comes to the, I'm sure this is in their contracts, but this game is an ideal 7 o'clock start. Because if you get Alabama, Georgia in the afternoon, and then get Texas, Oklahoma at night, like, why the hell is Clemson, Pittsburgh at night? Like, that didn't make the watch list. We're talking about Pittsburgh team next, but it's not related to that. Like, how the hell is that the game that we're paying attention to? Like, no way. Absolutely not. Not worth just hanging out at a Christmas party and ignoring that game. Knowing that I said this all, Pittsburgh's going to somehow make it close and we're all going to be latched onto our televisions. But here nor there. Great game rematch. Remember, Texas sort of their coronation this year was the Longhorns coming all the way back from 21 points down to beat Oklahoma, led to the firing of Mike Stoops. I was figuring which Stoops brother got fired. It was Mike Stoops. Oklahoma, 7.5-point favorite. We know all the narratives around Tom Herman being a just a master of the underdog, but you do have to remember that Oklahoma did lose this team. There is revenge on their mind. The Sooners know that they will be in the college football playoff if they do win and Georgia loses. They will be back there playing Alabama, but they still will be there. And I don't know. Oklahoma's defense is terrible, but Lincoln Riley's a genius. Lincoln Riley versus Nick Saban will be a ton of fun regardless of what may happen. And, you know, I think that's on their mind. I like the Sooners in this game. I think they are just set up in a better position to make themselves a thing. Now, if Texas does win, if Herman does it again and beats Oklahoma twice in a year, they are going to let him be the coach for at least 10 years. I mean, that would be a huge accomplishment for Texas. I mean, 10-3 year, going to a New Year's Six Bowl for the first time in quite a bit. I believe maybe since 2006. Has it really been that long since Texas has played in a New Year's Six Bowl? Since the Reggie Bush, Vince Young game? Let's look at our old friend Wikipedia in what we like to call good radio. So have they really? That to me, I find that hard to believe that they have not been in a New Year's Six Bowl since 2006. That to me seemed, no, they went to the national championship game. That's right, with Colt McCoy, and they lost to Alabama. That's correct. Okay, so they did. That might have been the last time. I can't find it on here. To hell with it. I'll look it up later, because that's something you can do at your desk while I'm talking. All right, we gotta go. This has been a little bit long of a weekend watch list. It's been good though. You got Steelers Chargers Sunday night. Love the Steelers in this game. I think Pittsburgh at home, Sunday Night Football, they tend to rise up for these sort of games. They know that they need to keep this win for a chance at potentially a bye. And the Chargers, while this game is important, they are going to be against the wall without Melvin Gordon. Austin Ekeler, good running back. He's not Melvin Gordon. Phillip Rivers has yet to show he can really be the dude and be the guy for Los Angeles. It'll be cold. The conditions aren't great. I love the Steelers in this game. I think they are one of my favorite picks of the week. Then you have Northwestern Ohio State. Ohio State needs to basically shit pump Northwestern to make a case to the committee why they belong in over Oklahoma. I think that's bad news for Northwestern. I would not necessarily count out Pat Fitzgerald. Man, 21 points is a lot. That's a lot of points, especially with a Northwestern team that hasn't lost on the road. This is technically a neutral game, so not a road game, but they haven't lost away from Ryan Field since September 30th, 2017. That's a long time, man. Just, I don't know. I love Northwestern. I don't know why. I just always have really enjoyed Northwestern. Something about this moment, it could be too big for them, and Ohio State could run them. But we just, how can you trust Ohio State? How can you really look at that spread and be like, I believe in Ohio State, just because they beat Michigan, who it might be more antiquated than the Packers? People who want Jim Harbaugh to coach the Packers, it's kind of interesting, because are we sure this guy is in college football Mike McCarthy? Just sit on that for a little bit. But yeah, I can't imagine you thinking that Ohio State can do this. I understand the idea of style points and I get it, but at the same time, are you really going to trust this Buckeyes team? They have proven untrustworthy time and again this year. I don't know. I think Ohio State wins, but definitely closer than that number. All right, that does it for the weekend watch list. Take care of yourself. Have a great weekend. Murph will be back with part of Murph's Fantasy on Saturday, and then I will be back to do the Daily Tap. We'll recap everything. Probably talk a little Brewer Hot Stove, too. There's continued rumors about the Brewers and pitchers, so we'll see if that heats up over the weekend. All right, take care, guys. Have a great weekend. Like I said, if you're out at the Santa thing at Lakefront, make sure you come on, say hi. I will be happy to have a beer with you. Maybe we'll take a picture, get it up on the Instagram. All right, take care. Have yourselves a great Friday. See you Monday. Later.